Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening and welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. I, as always, am Paul Wheatley and I have a we'll have a panel. I'm not going to go any further than that of sorts. With me this evening to discuss everything that happened around iOS and WWDC, more accurately, this week. To my far right is Robert. How's your week going?
Hello. I'm doing fine so far.
Good.
Pretty good. It's been a bit hectic after WWDC and everything, but settling back into the normal calm after post keynote routines again. And,
fantastic. Pretty nice. Good. Roddy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, Paul. I'm all excited because I'm on the internet again.
Hey.
It's not often they let me on the internet, so with my probation rules and the solitary confinement and that. So yeah, glad to be released for a little run around the internet.
Ian, are you all filled up with E3 goodness and ready to go?
E3 goodness.
Sorry, E3 goodness. I'm reading the wrong show notes. WWDC goodness and ready to go.
Oh, certainly, yes. Working very hard because I want me one of those new Retina MacBook Pros, and they're quite pricey.
They are a touch. $2,500 for a laptop, so maybe a bit steep. Grand. So, being that we've already kind of touched on WWDC, what is our general thoughts? Have you come away from it thinking that's fantastic, I can't wait, or have you come away a little bit let down, like a balloon filled with too much jam?
That's a wonderful image there. I watched the live stream of WWDC, and I thought that looks nice. That's all I've got to say on the matter, really. So it looked very nice. Look, Tim's a good-looking man, isn't he?
If we're going to talk about that, we might as well talk about Craig Federighi's hair, because that's worth noting.
Oh, that's amazing hair. It really
is. Absolutely. Hair Force One.
Scott Forstall's pigeon chest.
And the fact that Scott Forstall looks like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I didn't see that myself, Paul, but there is a sort of air of menace. Like he's just about to leap out of the theatre and tear Google to pieces at any moment.
He just looks on edge. He just looks like he's just taken on too much caffeine during the day.
It's those vibrating eyes of his, I think. It just does something. It's just a bit creepy.
So anyway, iOS 6. We've kind of disappeared off onto a critique of all the different presenters, but iOS 6, what was our highs, what was our lows?
Ian, I think you should go first.
The thing I am arguably most excited about in iOS 6 is Passbook, which I think is the kind of thing that we've been wanting on phones and mobile devices for a very long time. You know, I drink a lot of coffee, for example. So the idea that I could go to a coffee shop and open up an app and get all my loyalty points in the same app and not have to have, I don't go there, but like a Starbucks app and a Costa app and another app for each and every coffee shop. If I can have them all in one place, that's really convenient for me. And, you know, maybe they can give me some special offers through the app or whatever else if I collect enough points. So, but I like the idea as well that it isn't just about that kind of stuff, but you could potentially, if you have one app that gives you all this kind of access to gives developers access to kind of inform you about stuff. Because the other thing about it is it's geofenced, so you can, if you just turn up in a certain place, you can get an offer through this app. I think that's a very powerful thing. So what I'd like to know more about, I'm not a developer, is how much work it is for developers to kind of build their services into it, because it looks very powerful.
See, I've got a few concerns about it. The first thing being that if you're drinking that much coffee, you won't be able to read any of the passes in your passbook because you'll have vibrating eyes.
You just let me worry about that. Besides, that is what the accessibility features are for. Come on.
That's a very good point. Well, I'll give you that one. I think that it just depends on take-up, though. You're right that how easy is it going to be for people to develop for this? You know, are they going to want to? But then how many places are actually going to accept it? I know they've shown, some airlines, a couple of coffee coffee shops and things like that. But if we walked into the cinema and flashed our phones with a QR code or something at that, you know, miserable guy standing tearing paper tickets in half, he's just going to stare at us. He might flip and attack us.
I mean, I'd like to make a bit of an analogy here. I think the difference between like Passbook and having your own app is a similar sort of difference to having like a Facebook page and your own website. One of them takes a lot more work to do, but the other one is much easier. It's not your own thing, but everyone's using that thing, so there's a lot of benefit in it for you. So I could see, you know, potentially even indie retailers, smaller retailers, being able to scrape the cash together to put something into Passbook when perhaps they wouldn't be able to afford their own app.
Yeah, my concern is that this goes down the same road as Siri, in that it's all fair and well and everybody got very excited, but then ultimately none of that stuff comes to the UK for months. I think American Airlines already have an app that does something like this, and Starbucks does, and a lot more retailers in the States already kind of do this kind of thing, so they're already in that kind of that mentally, they're ready to go for it. But I think it's a while away for Britain, and I've got a funny feeling that this will be another thing like Siri, that it's we're only getting kind of a diet version of the app on release.
You're just grumpy, Paul, because they won't accept it. And Greg's.
You know, I am fairly sure that is a Greg's app. I've not checked that, but I would be shocked if there wasn't a Greg's app.
I have to look that up now. Be robbed of your 2-for-1 on pies.
But, I mean, Starbucks already has it in the UK. There is already an app, because you can use it to pay for your coffee and stuff using a QR code.
You can? Really?
Yeah, as part of the app.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Mm. You see, this is part of the future that's been promised to us, and you know, Android seems to be a little bit ahead, and Android phones, because a lot of them do have RFID, don't they? Mm. Or some of them do.
And NFC.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. Well, no, NFC is the dynamic version. RFID is this kind of single ID, but NFC means you can configure it and communicate in a more effective way. So if the iPhone, whatever the next one is called, has that built in, then this could potentially be a much more useful app.
Because I wasn't sure about it at first, but the idea of making payments and things with my phone and not having to wander around with change, you know, with all the swipe equipped cards that we're getting now, debit cards and credit cards, they're quite cool, and I've started using mine. So the phone would be quite handy.
Yeah, I really like that, but I can see it's going to be a long time coming. It's the same as the electric car, self-driving car. The technology's there, but people are just going to be afraid to use it. I know I'm going to jump on it as soon as the opportunity arises that I can use my phone and not have to carry my wallet, because I'm notorious in my work circles for not carrying cash on me when I go out for dinner. That's slightly convenience as well.
Well, yeah. The other thing I wonder, thinking about Apple's policies and things, the other thing I'm quite curious about is, if you're paying for stuff through this, will it all be through your iTunes account?
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. They're not going to break that model.
But do you think they might call it something else? It seems a little bit strange now that you can pay for so many things through iTunes. Well, it's an iTunes problem, isn't it? iTunes is everything now. And it's a great big bloated thing that I seem to be paying for things that have no relation to tunes at all through this account.
Yeah, actually, that's quite a nice segue onto something else we were going to talk about, and that's iOS 6 breaking out the podcast section of the iTunes app.
But just jumping back for a second, to be
okay,
fair,
fine.
Roddy.
No, don't listen to me. It's fine.
Your music, yeah. Your music has no relation to tunes either. It's fine.
Another dig every week, a dig at Gloria Estefan.
It's your own fault for mentioning it.
Carry on.
Don't blame me.
Yes.
I sent an email to Tim Cook, after all. I mean, I suggested I blob, but he didn't want to take it. So.
Of course, now we have to find another link to get back to this podcast thing. If only what we were talking about now had some relation to podcasts that would allow us to link to podcasts being moved out of iTunes, is that right?
Yeah. Actually, we were going to talk about that.
Now, was it out of the music app on iOS, or is it out of iTunes?
Now, that's interesting, because I couldn't actually find that out myself. But I think the fact that it's going to be broken out, because, I mean, coming from two sides of the fence on this one, and I love this idea, from an avid podcast listener point of view, I dropped iTunes as my podcatcher of choice, because you have to plug... Well, you either have to plug in for it to deal with subscriptions, as in plug into your iTunes account, because there's no way to subscribe on your phone, or you have to remember every week to open up your iTunes on your phone and download the latest episodes. Neither of those are particularly convenient due to the fact that navigation in iTunes is fairly poo. And also, as a podcast creator, I want people to download the podcast in iTunes, because that then helps our rankings in iTunes, gets us onto the top page, and subsequently generates more listeners. Now, I kind of go against myself on the second point there, because I use Downcast because it's far, far, far superior to using iTunes for podcasts.
But do you think enough people listen to podcasts to justify maybe shooting ourselves in the foot here? But is it seen as enough of a mass media thing to now be justify its own application? I've got this funny feeling that, you know, I don't listen to podcasts that much. You know, there are a couple that I do listen to. I'm not an enormous consumer of podcasts. And if it got split into another app that you can't delete and I have to hide in the Apple folder where I've got, you know, where I would put Newsstand if I could, where I've got the Stocks app, you know, the Blooming Stocks app. It's just going to end up in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that 100% at least of our listeners are podcast listeners.
That's crazy talk.
How do you come to that conclusion?
It feels just a bit strong.
It's basic math, gents. It's with a little kind of flurry of trombone, and
you're just parping out madness.
But I kind of see your point there, because I wish I could get rid of the Newsstand app altogether. But that actually links on nicely in that, is it not part of this whole plan that Newsstand is also going to be broken out? Not because it is already its own quote unquote app. It's not. It's like it's a folder that you can't delete. But they are going to break out Newsstand a little bit more, because I think that's one of the big failings in Newsstand at the moment, that if you want to search for a particular magazine that's maybe got a very generic title, I don't know, like Xbox or something like that.
I can assure you the magazines I read have anything but generic titles.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure of two I can think of. You might find some car-related apps as well.
Okay.
I don't know if they exist. That was a joke. That would possibly work better in the 80s, I think.
In the squalid depths of your imagination.
But where was I going with that thought?
Xbox magazines.
Xbox magazines, yes. And when you do a search for that, you get all content relating to Xbox. So that includes applications and it includes Newsstands. So you've got one magazine dipped in this plethora of Xbox-related crappy apps. And so breaking that out as a different app store would be fantastic. Although I do see your point around the podcast thing. Podcast app being another app that you have to hide, but
The flip side of that is, if there is a separate podcast app, you know, you don't have to troll through iTunes to find this stuff, and that can only be a good thing, I think, for people that actually want podcasts. And you know, if it's what would be interesting is whether or not this kind of transition will then be reflected on the desktop version of iTunes, which, as we all know, is a bit of a monster these days. It does far too much. It's tolerable on the Mac. It's hardly loved as applications go on Windows, and it would be very nice to have that split up into different things as well, I think.
I'm maybe being a bit harsh about splitting it out its own app, because I was delighted when they pulled videos out. Was it videos?
Yes, they pulled videos out. It was when the iPad got released.
Yeah, and I thought that was great. Yeah. So maybe I'm being a little bit harsh, or maybe they've got a new idea for podcasts. Maybe that they're going to, I'm not entirely how they would, but pull them into not just an ecosystem in terms of where you download them, where you browse and store them, whatever. Maybe a little bit more discussion around them, or making little communities out of them. Because Apple do really well, I think, in building social networking things around iTunes.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the best things. No, one of the absolutely best features of it, definitely.
But is it not? I mean, going back to your point, Roddy, whereby you're saying that people don't listen to podcasts. I mean, podcasts are quite big in the States. I think the States have kind of accepted that. And I would argue that's possibly because America has a long tradition in talk radio, whereas the UK doesn't really have that. But perhaps bringing it out, people will kind of go, well, what is this podcast malarkey? I mean, I certainly know that a friend of mine, I was speaking to a couple of weekends ago, and I was explaining to him about this podcast and the gamer podcast. He's an Xbox player. And he had never even heard of podcasts. and was completely shocked at this idea that there was this free content that he could listen to in his commute to work and back, and it was entertaining. It was in some situations, not necessarily this one.
Yeah. But, I was thinking Ricky Gervais there, but
They're entertaining, they're free, and you get a new episode every week. So maybe it's just an education piece, and bringing out a new app would actually do that education piece.
Yes. Well,
I did it work for iTunes U? I mean, that was very hidden inside iTunes.
Well, again, that's being broken out to its own app, so allegedly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it not already broken out in its own app? But
it isn't
a mandatory app, so you actually have to go and download it.
Ah, right. Yes, so that's okay. Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's
quite cool.
Yeah, but I would prefer that didn't happen for podcasts, but primarily on a really selfish point of view that forces people to open up the app. And ideally, if the at least first three apps when you open up the app are the iOS, the web, and the Gamer Show, that would just be... I mean, that's the solution that they should go to.
The dream team.
Yes.
What a delightful little cluster of fun that would be.
I think we've probably said about all we can about podcasting apps, and I was going to suggest we talk a bit about the new maps.
Let's. Mm.
Yes. So
they're not quite as pretty, are they?
As the Google Maps.
As the Google Maps. As maps provided by that other large corporation.
Mm. Well, actually, no, I think they're prettier, but they're just less useful.
Okay.
Yeah, the 3D flyovers are only in a small pocket of cities, which I'm going to throw my neck out here and say it was possibly San Francisco, New York, and possibly another. There is no flyovers in the UK.
And there's no Street View.
There's no Street View. Oh, side story. I overtook a Street View car on the way home from work tonight. And
was I naked in the window of that car at the time?
And there, you could not find a more dour-faced, sewer plum-looking little old deer driving this car in your life. And I don't know why, but like, having never visited the Google campus, but all the stories you hear about them having bean bags and unlimited supply of Diet Coke and the things like that, I really, really wanted this like kind of hipster-looking cool guy driving the Google car, and it really wasn't. It was a little old deer in a wool cardigan with glasses on, and just she looked so unhappy at the prospect of having to drive this car about with big Google badges on the side of it.
I suspect that was twofold, because probably she worked in a library that David Cameron has just closed down, and then also she's conscious of the fact that within a year Google's cars will be driving themselves, and a year from then Google's robots will be crushing our throats in their cold metal fingers. So.
Indeed,
Skynet, it's coming alive.
Google Skynet.
Yeah,
we should actually check if they've got that domain name.
Let's not
buy it before they do.
Yes. So anyway, sorry, the maps you were saying, Ian.
Yeah, because they're prettier because they're vector based rather than bitmaps like the Google Maps. So they do the really cool thing where when you change the orientation of the device, all the labels kind of go with it, and I think that's amazing. But most of the kind of screenshots I've seen so far from people who have got the development version, it seems like there's a lot less detail on the maps, and there's fewer labels. And if you look at a given area, it's perhaps a bit harder to get your bearings and where you are. So obviously it's their first stab at it. Things will improve, but for now, I'm wondering if it's going to be as usable as what we've got. And the other question, of course, is will Google release their own app? I can't imagine that they wouldn't. But, would they then fall foul of, well, it's existing functionality, it's provided by the phone, you can't do it?
That's a
good question.
Mm. Pistols at dawn.
They're still using Google Apps for some elements because Photos has moved over. So the Photo app is now using the Open Street View. And there is another application that is still using Google's Maps, and
okay.
I can't recall what it is now.
Well, on the web, things like Find My Phone use Google Maps as well.
Find My Phone, that was what I was thinking. It was Find My Phone and Find My Friends, or Stalk My Friends is a better way to discuss it. But I'm sure they're still using Google Maps, unless they're likely to come out with updates, actually, between now and iOS 6 coming into the wild.
Yeah, maybe they'll just steamroller everything with their fancy new Maps app. It would seem a bit odd to be that inconsistent. I know Apple can sometimes take a little while to get everything going in sync, but it would seem like they're announcing it so brashly, and they're so obviously in competition with Google now that in that space that they'd have to go for it 100%.
I think so. Say another little tangent. I'm doing a lot of tangents tonight. Another little tangent here. You see the icon for the apps icon on your iPhone and your iPad is actually Cupertino. It's actually yes. one infinite mm-hmm. loop. I didn't know that.
Everyone else did.
Well, somebody yes, told me.
Have you also seen the thing that the new maps icon will kill you?
Sorry.
the new maps icon will kill you. It's got a kind of left turn indicated, but the left turn is not going off the slip road of the highway. It's going to the middle of the junction, then jumping off the bridge.
That's brilliant.
That's reading a bit too far in there, perhaps.
Can I go on my own little tangent now that you've had a tangent?
Fire on.
It's my turn for a tangent. This is just very briefly, and it's an observation that I think everyone probably knows about anyway, but frustrated me a little bit, was that we were talking about Google stuff being pulled out of iOS, and I, in my epic quest to remove Google from my life completely, have completely stopped using Google Search on the web, and I'm using DuckDuckGo.com instead. It might mm-hmm. be duckduckgo.net. I'm not sure about the because I've bookmarked it, but it's really good and I'm liking it, and it's kind of ad free and you know, they haven't tailored the search results at all, which I like, but I can't use it natively on my phone. So of course it's Google Search in Safari on my phone, or it's Yahoo or Bing, and to be honest, I'd rather use Google than Yahoo or Bing. So, and then, you know, then you're just using a web client in Safari, and
so Google is the lesser of three evils.
Or Threevils, as we prefer Threevils, to call them. Threevils, yeah. So it would be nice if you could add customized search engines into that. I know that then you're maybe going down the Android route of being far too customizable to the point that everything breaks, but it's just a little thing that I wanted, and I like to think that Apple should tailor everything exclusively for me.
Actually, that's a really good point. There was something that I was really wanting to, and it may still come, but it's just there's no note of it just yet, is being able to select default email clients as well as a default browsers and things like that. So, for example, Sparrow on the iPhone, which I really, really, really want to like because I love Sparrow on the Mac. The big thing that it's just missing just now is the ability to set it as your default mail reader. So, but I think it's highly unlikely, but that's a little off the back of your one. It's another wish from me.
I love sparrows in nature, but I downloaded it for my partner on her Mac, and I thought it was stupid, and she thought it was stupid, and we deleted it and then sang a Sparrow is Stupid song while burning her laptop to bits.
Oh, well, I enjoy it.
No. You don't think that was maybe a bit of an overreaction?
Just a tad.
It angered me, man. It angered me. I got the red mist.
Okay.
Another feature that's coming to iOS 6, which I quite like this, you no longer need to re-enter your App Store password to download updates of previous purchases. That makes total sense to me. Yeah. Mm. I don't know why that's never been there before.
It actually makes me use a fairly weak password as my Apple ID, because you've got to type it in all the blooming time.
As long as it wasn't the same one as your LinkedIn password, you should be okay, though.
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Or your LastFM password, or your eHarmony password.
Yeah, because I'm on all of those. I don't think eHarmony's ready for me.
Pull to refresh and mail, just like you can in Twitter, Facebook, and other iOS apps. I find this is another fantastic one for me. It's just the little things, but I always pull to refresh, and I get the search box. Oh, of course, yes, push the button. This is fantastic that's arrived.
This must be one of the few UI things that Apple themselves didn't create from scratch.
I know,
that they decided to adopt.
It's very strange for them to take this approach, but I suppose sometimes familiarity, I can't say that word, it does equal usable sometimes.
And it's boingy. Oh, it's super boingy.
Super boingy.
Can I backtrack a little bit? You just reminded me we were talking about entering passwords all the time. And I can't think about it. I think I saw it on Twitter or somewhere. But Cabal Sasser, however you pronounce his name, of the Redoubtable Panic Software, make some wonderful OS X apps. And of course, Prompt for the phone. Did we not talk about Prompt the other day?
I think we did. SSH client.
We only talked about
SSH client, yeah. And he suggested, would it not be a good idea to ask for, if you've got a PIN lock on your phone, to ask you for your PIN when you switch off your phone? Because the first thing, if your phone gets stolen, a clever thief is going to do is switch off so you can't use Find My Phone. And so if you had to use the PIN, you would either have to wait for the battery to run down or smash it to pieces, which would maybe that would defeat the point as well.
Yeah, to a degree.
It was a clever idea. I thought even just as an option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was listening to John Gruber on the talk show this week. I can't remember which episode it was, but thinking about the pull to refresh, he was suggesting that maybe Apple actually has stats about how many times people have tried to pull to refresh in Mail, and that might be where they're adding it.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be interesting.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly do it at least once a day. Anyway.
Yeah, it just feels so natural.
It does.
But
it does.
I also hear that the implementation isn't quite the same as like the original Tweety Twitter one. It feels a bit different. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing, you know, how different.
Hmm. It looked different when Forstall was demoing it on stage anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Are we still talking about the same thing? Good.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Demoing his vibrating eyes.
I know that the lasers shoot out and, you know, kills a few in the audience and, oh, darn, have to clean up again.
Hey, I'm Scott Forstall, everyone. Come on, let's do squat thrusts.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway, there's a new clock app on the iPad.
I'm actually quite looking forward to that. I do miss the clock on the iPad. I use the clock app almost every day on the iPhone for like timing something or setting myself a reminder for something. I don't use reminders still. I just kind of put a time in clock and it beeps at the right time.
I'm sorry, I've just got the image now of you going around timing everything in your house. Just completely losing the plot.
Not quite everything, but...
As you start labeling everything in your house with, you know, weighing everything and putting its weight in kilograms or grams, everything in your house and timing it.
That might take me a while.
That's what I imagine you do, though, every day.
Is there anything else anybody wants to mention on iOS 6 before we shuffle on? Because I think we've done this to death.
Yeah, just very quickly. Sure. The other two things that I was interested in were the additions to Safari. So cloud tabs, where you can suck through the tabs over iCloud from your desktop or another device. Mm-mm. Yeah, I can see that there could be problems.
We're
with
back
that.
To the photo stream thing again, aren't we?
quite apart from anything else, I tend to have like 60 tabs open in Safari on my MacBook at any given time. But yeah, you can just kind of pick them, pull them through individually. I don't know if you can pull them through all at once, but it seems like quite a neat feature, because there are a lot of times where I'm thinking, I was looking at that when I was at home, and now I can't remember the stuff that was on that page, and I can't remember where I was even, but I know I want to look at it now. So that seems quite neat. And the other thing was this the kind of advanced version of reading list, the offline reading list, where it kind of caches the articles for you.
Yeah, that is quite
which
nice,
obviously so, yeah. Yeah, obviously sounds like you know, a readability or pocket or Instapaper like feature. So I wonder how many people are going to use that in the browser rather than you know, using those third-party apps now.
Have any of you got reading lists to sync between devices at the moment? Because I mean, I use Instapaper, so I'm not really bothered about reading lists. But every time I've put things on it, they're completely separate, completely different on all my devices. And iCloud seems to be set up okay. So like I say, it's not bothered me to the point of trying to fix it or play around with it, but it just seems to be broken.
Mm. Well, no, I mean, actually, already that's my biggest issue in general with all this iOS 6 stuff, is that a lot of it seems to be iCloud-based, and my experience of iCloud has been patchy, to say the least. So I'm hoping that sort of gets a bit tidied up with iOS 6 as well. iOS 6.
Yeah, because we had a keen listener, pedantic keen listener who I know the home address of, did point out that I'd been saying iOS last time, and I'm sorry, and it won't happen again. It's iOS, and we all know that. Mm. I've been a bloody fool.
Just on the whole WWDC, I sent out a tweet just before the WWDC announcement asking for people to give their thoughts, and I would mention the one that was either closest, bang on, or furthest away. And so I have to give a bit of an award to Darren Griffin. It's a verbal award at all. We don't have any prizes. Because his tweet read that WWDC was going to bring iPhone 5, nothing like the leaked photos, no new MacBook Pros, and an Apple camera-related announcement. Well, I think a small round of applause, gentlemen, goes there, because that's a none for none.
Slow clap.
But thank you very much, Darren, for contacting
Big
us.
Big wow.
Yeah. But I like where you were going with that. I would have liked some of those things to happen. Questionable about the Apple camera, but I would have quite liked an iPhone 5 to have appeared. But
if only he'd had Tim Cook attacked by Swan on stage, he would have perfectly rounded off.
On the iPhone 5.
I was just going to say on iPhone camera, there are kind of these rumors keep on popping up that Apple might buy these guys Lytro, who are the folks that have built a camera which you don't need to focus, and you can focus the photo after you take it, which is pretty cool. Apparently it's really well made and really well designed, but it's still quite early technology. So.
So on the iPhone 5, yet more photos have appeared. Hooray, we say, because we're still possibly best part of 4 months, 5 months away from them appearing.
They all still look pretty much the same, don't they?
Well, see, my biggest problem with this, I'm calling fake on these for a variety of reasons. The main ones being that these photographs look like it's taken in somebody's backyard on their, you know, their patio table. In which case, this person has these phones at home, and wouldn't you take some better shots, like some top-down shots, some kind of holding them and looking all around them, instead of this really elongated view with kind of a kind of a blur in the background?
So I think you're reading different news sources to me, Paul, because I saw them mentioned as renderings, basically that somebody had taken the previous leaked photos, kind of worked out the dimensions and kind of slapped some textures on them to kind of just render as best they could what they thought the iPhone, whatever it is, 5 would look like.
Right.
Okay. If they're the same ones you linked to in the show notes, I think that they're the same thing.
Right, okay, because the other issue I had, which would make sense here, is the fact that these photographs are supposed to come from China, and that the phone is clearly showing 5 bars of AT&T signal.
That's very observant.
I'm calling fake, but I suppose it's one of these things that it's looking more and more like the new phone is going to look in that kind of form factor, with that kind of almost matte section across the back, Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get more and more of this as the next few months roll on.
I can't wait.
We are going to see so many more mock-ups, and so many of them are going to suck so much.
I'm just going to start saturating the internet with my own mock-ups of the iPhone made out of cardboard. Like piles of old shoelaces and done in felt pen and stuff.
Speaking of items being made in felt pen, shoelaces and cardboard, Microsoft released their Surface tablet last night.
Oh, that's a little bit harsh.
Oh, Paul.
And strictly it's Surface tablets, because there's the ARM-based one, which runs Windows 8 RT. And then there's the Intel-based one that has a Core i5 processor. And if I remember rightly, what they call peripheral ventilation.
Oh, I know. There were so many buzzwords in that. Digital inking. A stage for
that
Windows.
Sounds like something a terrified electronic octopus would do.
PAM block technology, which to me sounds something else. But there was just the whole video. I have to admit, I only watched halfway through till the designer guy came on, and they played a video that was quite clearly an Apple ripoff of when you get Johnny Ive and Scott Forstall sitting with a white background describing the metaphorical yoga state that they had to get.
And if there's one thing you don't want to rip off from Apple, it's those videos.
Yes. I did think, though, that the video that they created, which was all the kind of the rocks spinning and things smashing and like mercury balls floating about, was very un-Microsoft.
Don't forget the dubstep. Yes. Wop, 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 wop.
But it was very un-Microsofty. You know, there was absolutely no sign of Jerry Seinfeld anywhere.
You know, there's something about the whole Surface thing, and I've not seen the video, because I can't look at Steve Ballmer's face for any length of time. But, you know, I just read through their PR page about it this morning on the bus. Well, it wasn't on the bus, it was on my iPhone that I was reading it, but I was on the bus. And you're right, it looked absolutely as un-Microsoft as you could get. I was reading some of the blurb around it. It sounded quite, you know, not the usual boring sort of corporate focused Microsoft stuff. It seemed well put together. It looked like a nice device. I think Windows Phone 7 is a really cool operating system. Yep. I think Windows 8 looks very, very confused. I would almost have considered buying one if it ran Windows Phone rather than Windows 8.
I think with Windows 8 RT, you kind of get closer to that. You know, because it doesn't do the whole traditional interface stuff.
Oh, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think as a device, it looks really, really good. But I like you, my concern is around the software. If they've, you know, they are Microsoft, they must know Windows 8 quite well. They've probably built it to match with the software pretty well. I do wonder why they've got a touchpad on their kind of snap-on keypad thing. But
I think I know why that is, because if you're using an iPad with an external keyboard, then you have to take your fingers off the keyboard and up to the screen to you know, upload the user interface thing. So that might be a good idea.
I like that whole smart cover with a keyboard integrated in it.
It's a great idea.
That. And the interesting thing was watching that whole video, that was the only time that you had any indication that the audience was still alive. Because the amount of jokes that they attempted to crack during the show and the amount of things that they released, and that was the only thing that got a cheer. And I have to admit, that was the only bit that kind of made me go, actually, this looks a little bit interesting.
What are your thoughts on flaps?
By flaps. Which I hope, Ruddy, you mean kickstands.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Got a bit worried there for a moment, to be honest.
I saw that on the back of it, and I thought, it looks like it's going to break.
Yeah, I'm going to break that instantly. That was in my notes here, I've got, like the leg idea, I will break that exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark, that note's intent.
I also, immediately under that, actually, I forgot I'd written this. I just wrote underneath it, I really, really hate Bomber. I don't know why my notes are that detailed, gentlemen.
I don't want to see the drawings in the margin.
I have to admit, this was, I mean, we've said it before, but this was very un-Microsoft-y. And I was actually reasonably impressed.
I thought it looked, yeah, it's kind of cool. The only concern is that they're saying that the ARM version is slightly thinner than an iPad. Is that right? But then it's bigger because it's got a larger screen. Yeah, so you've like got more room in total, millimeters. More volume to actually shove things into that. So the fact it's slightly thinner is balanced out with the size. But is it just me, or is it? It looks like it's a parallelogram shape. Like, it seems a very, very odd shape, and I'm not sure it looks comfortable to hold.
That was the thing that kind of really bugged me when they were introducing it. The Steven Sinofsky is on there and he goes, yeah, we've built this thing. The edges are beveled at 22 degrees. And I'm like, who cares what the angle is?
But they mentioned that a further couple of times, because they mentioned the 22 degree things. They then went on to say that because it's at 22 degrees, when you have it sat on a table, you completely frame your Skype user because it's at 22 degrees. And it's almost like everybody was going to go, oh, I was waiting for that. I really wanted to know that it was going to be at 22 degrees.
You completely frame your victim.
Yeah, it's fair, you know, if they've done research, but they just kind of threw it in there at the beginning. I was like, that's not how you explain things. just say, look at beveled edges, and then later on you go, these edges are precisely beveled at 22 degrees because we found that was the optimum angle to prop up this tablet so you could use Skype. Yeah, now I'm on board, but don't just tell me they're 22 degrees and leave me hanging.
Yeah,
it's like a bevel without a cause.
Microsoft. They kind of like go into the business speak of it in a way. But they kept burping the same thing over and over, like you mentioned, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, they mentioned 22 degrees, 22 degrees, 22. I just expected it to be 23 degrees and then we'll have it done with.
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, dear. Very good.
Those crazy guys at Microsoft. We're
talking about them now, shouldn't we?
We're giving them free publicity here.
I know. But we are talking about that because it is a competitor to the iPad, so it is iOS-related news.
Arguably the most credible one we've seen so far, which is amazing.
Which is kind of scary when you think about the tablet market.
I think the most credible one was the HP touchpad before they killed it.
I knew you were going to say that.
I thought it looked really good.
I did as well.
I'm exactly with you.
And I know I'm banging on about what I banged on about last week, probably the week before, and every single day of my natural waking life. But the Surface is another 16:9 ratio device, and I think tablets look better in 4:3, like the iPad, which is one we all love, and the touchpad from HP, which is dead.
And it's also worth to note that they seem to have considered building this only with like a landscape in mind, not in portrait.
Oh, yeah, because that's one thing I noted is that they've got the Windows logo on it, and then that's going to be the wrong way around.
Not to mention the camera.
three quarters of the time.
Well, no, maybe they're going to do like the old PS2, whereby you can actually turn it. It's just going to be like a little plastic bit that you actually turn, so it's the right way around.
Yeah, stay classy there, Microsoft.
Anyway, moving on, because our news section has blown well over the amount of time that
it's
I had originally.
It's huge!
WWDC, what can we do?
Yes, indeed, indeed. Oh, that's very true. Next year. And very true. So we're going to move on to our support section. Now, we've had absolutely no suggestions as to what we should call this section. Straight away from the floor, what are we going to call it this week? We're going to change every week until somebody gives us a good idea. Go!
Support stockings.
There we go.
Oh,
sure, why not?
Actually, that might stay. Okay, support stockings. The first one.
You started it. You asked for ideas. If our listeners can't be bothered to just send us a tweet or an email or come around to our houses in the middle of the night wearing a scary mask to suggest things to us, then, well, you know, leave all the work to us.
Okay.
I'm going to get stuff like this.
Support stockings.
You're going to have fun editing this, aren't you?
There's just going to be 1 second of audio left and it'll be silent.
Right, okay, so this first one comes from Alan Elvin. Thank you, Alan, for asking this question. I want, and this was his exact words, I've kind of shortened it for the show notes, but the exact words was, I want the hot, sexy American girl voice on my iPhone 4S.
Move to America and buy another iPhone.
Well, there is actually a way you can do it on your iPhone, no matter where you are. And actually, subsequently, you can also get the Australian woman, the French guy, the German, I think it's a bloke as well.
And the Venezuelan comedy cartoon frog.
or the Japanese guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically all you do is you go into your Siri settings and there's a language setting. You change your language to American English, mm-hmm. not the Idle Wild song, the actual setting. And you can then get the girl voice. And that's it. It's as simple as that.
However, you might find it harder to be understood by Siri if you do that and you don't have an American accent.
Very true.
Exactly.
But
you can put one on, though.
But that actually fixed this problem because I mentioned it back to Alan that we were going to mention it in the show, and Alan said he'd actually worked out the problem and he sent me the solution. So Alan's fixed it. He has, quote, his sexy American girl voice. That is on his phone, not Alan himself, I would assume. and all is good. So very good.
Well, that's a very favourite kind of listener, the one that has a problem then solves it before we even have to.
Exactly. The next one comes from Ord Saunders. Now, Ord was actually on the web show last night and he asked this question. Can I disable the password when downloading apps and music? Now, we've mentioned earlier on that iOS 6 does this for repurchases. Not repurchases, for updates and things like that. But is there a way to do it for everything else?
I'm not sure there is, because I've got, with some things like Stalk My Pals, then it doesn't ask you for your password when you have a PIN, when you have a passcode on your phone. But I'm pretty sure it still asks your Apple ID when you're buying stuff when you do have a PIN.
Yeah.
I took a look around too, and I couldn't find any way to disable it or even prolong it more than the 15 minutes that they kind of have built into the system.
See, I think maybe the best solution is to disable the problem at source by not downloading apps or music.
Well,
possibly, yeah.
That's exactly what Apple want you to do. That's why they're making it so difficult. So I believe actually that anything that I found supports that idea that you just cannot switch this off. And in actual fact, as far as I understood from one article that I found, they've actually reduced that 15-minute time period because of the Watchdog show a couple of years ago that was complaining about a kid managing to run up about a grand's worth of bill on in-app purchases on some Farmville-related game. So thank you very much, Watchdog. Do you have Watchdog over with you there, Robert? The TV show Watchdog?
I think we have something similar, but I can't figure out the name for it now. Oh, yeah. But there is something on TV, like keeping our eye out for weird activities. And they did take up this with, I think it was the Smurf stuff some year ago.
Sorry, the Smurfs stuff?
Yeah, the Smurf Village or whatever they like, the game where you buy little Smurf thingies. And
oh, right, okay, you did see Smurfs there. I was I was thinking we were talking about something else, but that's fine.
I have a few Smurfs here, but they usually don't talk so much during the show, so I try to keep them gagged and tied and tossed behind the bed and stuff. No, don't worry.
Good grief.
I thought Smash were Belgian.
I want the Belgian Siri.
Okay, I have four iOS devices with two iCloud accounts, but a shared iTunes account. This is from Walter Mackey. Thank you, Walter. So I'm taking this that it's perhaps like a husband and wife here who have maybe an iPad and an iPhone. They have separate iCloud accounts on their personal iPad and iPhone, but they share an iTunes account between the two. So presumably it's the wife's or the husband's iTunes account. How is this possible?
I think they probably got married to begin with and then bought the iOS devices later.
That's a good theory. Yeah.
Does that help?
Well, how did they set it up so that they can share one iTunes account but keep their iCloud account separate?
Oh, that's tricky. Could they, assuming that they have purchased content in iTunes, if it was all sort of free open source kind of stuff, because there's lots of that about in their iTunes, I guess they could have a separate, they could do it with home sharing, couldn't they? And they could set it up with a third kind of temporary iCloud account and do home sharing through that, and then they can sign in with from both of the iOS devices. But then that's only when they're in the same network, isn't it? Not when they're off.
Now, I actually have this exact, well, it's a very similar problem. I'm in a position where there's four iCloud accounts sharing one iTunes account.
How many people are you married to?
Well, it's both my daughters. I'm not married to those. And my to-be wife. And we each have an iCloud account, but we share an iTunes account. And the way that we do it is first of all, when you set up your phones, you set them up as your personal iCloud accounts, which is fine. And then once the phones are set up, they've all synced their emails and everything like that, and everybody's happy. You then subsequently go into the store in settings, and you then set up a separate store account. So that could be with one of the Apple IDs. Okay. So in my scenario, it's my Apple ID that all of them share for their iTunes account. And you then go into the store, and then you tap on Apple ID, and you're able to change it so that everybody's using the same Apple ID. And that works quite nicely for me.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It works quite nicely.
Yeah, I would have thought that would be like outside Apple's parameters, but it's impressive.
No, it does it. And I still have an old iTunes account before I got drafted into the world of Apple when I just had my iPhone and I was using a Hotmail account. So now and again, I do have to, like, for example, the Facebook app. I think it's the only app I use, not even that regularly, that's still on that old account. And I have to log in and out of that sometimes to update those apps.
We need to have a new section of the show called Outside Apple's Parameters. Ian tells us at excruciating length a list of things that are outside Apple's parameters, which are probably most things in the world.
Interestingly, that's shortened to OAP.
Isn't it, though? It's the little man, support stockings link there. Can I do my one?
Yes, fire on.
Somebody asked... Who asked?
Andrew Garrett.
Alf
Andrew
Garnett.
Garrett asked.
Andrew Garrett asked, can I AirPlay iPlayer? Now, I had exactly the same problem. Oh, look, there's my phone going. I'm really sorry. But it's an iOS phone, so it's okay if it goes off in the middle of the podcast. And I had my iPad, and I wanted to stream iPlayer. And I think how I did it is that I did the double tap on the... Yep. iPad that brings up the multitasking thing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And then you swipe it to the left. No, you swipe everything over to the right. And where the volume thing is, the play and pause controls, and there should be an AirPlay thing in there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I did it.
Yeah, I was doing it as you said that on my iPad, and sure enough, it's there.
You were doing what we described.
Exactly.
On my iPad.
Yes, I was.
I don't really know what you're doing. I'm glad this isn't a video podcast.
I actually do this every week, but because I kind of catch up on TV on my iPad, but I don't have an Apple TV, so I just AirPlay the audio across to my AirPort Express and watch the video on my iPad, but have the sound come through my good stereo system. It works very nicely.
Okay, that is the support stockings question section, I should say. This podcast and all the others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They have kept the British Tech Network afloat for over 3 years now, and they are brilliant, and you should use them. Every one of you should use them. Get over there now. I'll wait. Have you done it?
We'll check.
Okay. We have
keeping
a
keeping our eyes on you.
So while you're over there filling your shopping basket with all the fantastic goodness that comes from UK2, remember that what you should have done first, and I can't believe you didn't do this, you'll go through BritishTechNetwork.com, of course. So you need to go back, click back a couple of times, go through BritishTechNetwork.com, left-hand side, click on UK2's link, head in the UK2 website, and now refill your basket, please. When you get to the checkout, once you've refilled your basket, pop in some of these voucher codes, or pop in all of them, or pop in one of them, and see what happens. So British Tech DNS gives you free DNS for 2 years. British Tech Domains gives you 20% off domain name registration. British Tech VPN gives you 50% off a month's VPN charges. Sorry, that's your first month's VPN charges. British Tech Server gives you £50 off any gigabit server that's on any contract length, but it has to be online. You can't phone up the awesome folk at UK2 and do that one. You've got to actually do it online. And finally, British Tech VPS gives your first month free with a VPS server. That's British. That's UK2. Please come through the British Tech Network to go to them so that we know that we sent you. Please, they support British Tech. You should support them. They're awesome. Please use them. Gentlemen, do we have any picks?
Okay, the pick I've got for this week, actually I've got two because I'm greedy and selfish. The first one is Reader 3. Now, Reader is an application which lets you read RSS feeds, which are nice, and are my little way of keeping up with what's going on in the world. So I've got all my different feeds. You know, my Neetarama is a good one. I have all my Apple Tech ones, so I digest all the stuff from the different Apple Tech sites and things like that. And it's great because it's got a nice little iPhone app, a slightly more full-featured iPad app, and it's easy to navigate. It's very simple. It's great. Now, with version 3 that's just come out, and again, there's a slightly selfish motivation for this, it used to only synchronize through Google Reader. So you needed to have a Google account and Google Reader to use it. So it would store all your subscriptions on your Reader account. With version 3, the developer of Reader has added support for two other sources, one of which is Fever, which was created by Sean Inman, who's a very clever chap, as a self-hosted RSS syncing device. So you can read Fever on the web, like reading Google Reader. You can it has a mobile version, and now you can get it in Reader. So this is great news for people like me who hate Google and want to get away from, want to close their Google Reader accounts. Disappointingly, though, that's only the iPhone app that's been updated with this. The iPad one hasn't and won't be for some time, and the OS X version will be a while as well. So my other pick was Ashes, which is an application which natively supports Fever and lets you read your RSS Fever feeds. The only catch with all of this is that Reader and Ashes are nice cheap, but Fever requires it's $30 to buy an account for yourself, and you have to host it yourself, so you need to have a web host that you can serve it with. But that's what I do for all my RSS, because I've got too much time on my hands.
Indeed you do. I can't do any RSS.
And you really don't like Google.
I'm saying no to Google. I'm walking up to Google and I'm going, no. And they're saying, yeah. And I'm like, no. That's what it's like.
Robert, what do you have for us tonight, mate?
I rediscovered an old game called Tyrion. Not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's an old arcade-style side-scrolling shooter game from the mid-1990s, if I'm not mistaken. Back in the early 2000s, it was released freely to the world, and we have the joy of having it on the App Store.
Yeah, cool.
I think it's a tier 2, so that would be what, £149?
Is that the Mac App Store or the iOS?
The iOS.
iOS App Store, right.
Yes. Right, okay. So it's fairly cheap, and it works pretty well, even on older devices like, say, an iPhone 3G and comparable devices. So, it's a pretty good, fun little game, and it sounds right, it works right, touch controls. But
I recognize that. It's £1.49 in the British App Store,
and there we go.
$1.99 in the States.
Excellent, yeah. So, it's for the price, I think it's a pretty good game. Storyline isn't exactly the best in the universe, but no, it's a shooter game, and it's pretty fun. So great. I'd recommend it.
Superb. Ian, what do you have for us?
This week, Paul, I am recommending Trickle for Twitter. It's described as a passive Twitter client. So you know how with most Twitter clients, you get a list of tweets and you can refresh them and you can see more coming in all the time. And there's just a big list of them and the, you know, you can keep reading through that timeline. Trickle takes a different approach. It shows one tweet on screen at a time, and it will just show them for a few seconds and then move on to the next one and then move on to the next one. And you can set it to just go through your timeline, or you can add, you can set it to look at a hashtag, or you can set it to look at a saved search or one of your Twitter lists. And what I find it really, really good for is just kind of keeping an eye on either my tweets or the tweets about a particular subject while I'm doing something else. So it's a universal app. It works on iPhone and iPad. So you can just prop up your iOS device, set Trickle running, and you can just kind of see the tweets going on in the background while you work on something else. So perhaps there's a football match that's on that you want to see the tweets about. Perhaps there's a WWDC keynotes and you want to see what's going on with that. It'll just keep on popping up tweets from that subject matter until such time as you get bored and close the app. So it's quite a neat little app. It's £1.49 on the UK App Store, and I just find it quite good for those times when you want to stay on top of something without actually staying on top of something.
So I could set it to randomly pick out tweets from former Tomorrow's World presenter Maggie Philbin's timeline while keeping my hands completely free to do other things.
That is a possible use of the technology. Yes, I do not necessarily condone that use.
I'm sold.
Superb. My pick this week is a Kinder Surprise egg.
I see.
Right, this is going somewhere. Bear with me.
What's inside the egg, Paul?
Well, it's inside the egg is a small orange plastic egg, I suppose, as well. My problem is I use the Apple earbuds, not the ones that come with your iPhone, the ones that you have to buy separately. I really like them. I think they're really, really good headphones, in my opinion.
Can I ask a very quick, because I was really tempted to get them after three pairs of black Sennheiser noise cancelling ones broke. They're white, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
The
yes.
White rubber ones. Do they not come out all like weird and manky and yellow from your manky ears?
No, because the little bits that go inside your ears are actually plastic. They're kind of
silicone.
They're silicone. Yes, you're quite right. So no, they don't have any problem. I was going through the Apple ones and other ones that I bought. I think I got some Sennheiser ones, and I was going through them about every 3 to 4 months. I was having to get a new pair just because one of them would stop working or the microphone would stop working.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, and I have had these ones now. I'm actually using them tonight as well. I use them every single day, I've had them for over a year now. Now, they're not looking their best anymore, but the sound quality is, in my opinion, still fantastic. I'm fairly sure if I bought new ones tomorrow, I would notice an uplift in the sound. I'm not going to try and pretend that they've not degraded in any way, but I still think that they're absolutely perfect. But the big problem that I have with them is the little silicone buds fall off quite easily. So when you put them in your pocket, when you get off the train, when you're going to get in your car, I have regularly dropped the little silicone bud. And it's quite frustrating because the next day you can't use them. And the little case that comes along with them for holding the little buds or for holding the headphones themselves is crap. It opens, it doesn't lock shut or anything like that. And this is where the Kinder Surprise egg comes in. Now, inside a Kinder Surprise egg, you have the little orange carton thing, the little orange egg, which now is on a hinge. I don't know if you guys have had Kinder Surprise since you were very little, and it used to be in two parts. Well, now the two parts are actually hinged at the back, so it stays in one unit. You obviously take the toy out, give it to child on the street or your kids, whichever you happen across first. Eat the chocolate, because the chocolate's actually quite nice. But that little egg thing perfectly fits the Apple earbud headphones, and it clicks shut very satisfyingly, and you're not going to lose your little buds anymore, and they'll always be in your pocket, and it's fantastic. So my pick is a Kinder Surprise egg.
Is your pick next week going to be how to make an iPhone out of papier-mâché? No, I think we're setting a worrying precedent here.
But it's fantastic.
I've just Googled Kinder Surprise, and one of the top Google auto-suggests is Kinder Surprise illegal in USA. Thought you should know.
Oh dear. So that,
yeah, I can anyway. Just imagine Paul being sent to Guantanamo Bay for trying to take his headphones on an American holiday.
Oh dear. Right, okay. Finally, I just want to very, very quickly plug the British Tech Network Bash, which is happening 2 weeks on Friday. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, there's a massive big banner at the top. The British Tech Bash is Friday, the 6th of July, 2012, and the tickets are available at britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk. The tickets...
And they will... Sorry, Paul, I'm cutting across you. Carry on.
No, it's okay. The tickets are £20 plus a fee of £1.85, but that's basically just to cover your booze and food and everything like that for the day. TechSmith, the folk who make Camtasia, and something else. I can't remember. I should have that written down off the top of my head. But anyway, they're sponsoring some of the events there. So there's booze, there's mead got delivered the other week there. There's a pig roast. It's going to be a fantastic day. And every single one of the British Tech Network shows are going to be recorded back-to-back. As the day progresses, from 11 o'clock in the morning, I believe drinking is starting at 11 o'clock. So heaven forbid anybody who has to listen to the shows that are being recorded about 4 or 5pm in the afternoon because they could start to get a touch ropey. And we're going to have some celebrities and friends of the network with us, such as Andy Anatko and Don McAllister. So come along. It will be fantastic. Tickets are still available. That's britishtechbash.eventbrite.co.uk. Sorry, Ian, you were going to say something?
Marvelous. I can't come along, unfortunately, and everyone just won't bother because I'm not there.
I just wanted to make sure you mentioned the pig roast, that's all.
Oh, right, yes, the pig roast. So, finally, how can we get a hold of you, gentlemen? Ian, what's the best way to get a hold of you in this internet world?
It's almost always on Twitter, because I'm there alarmingly often. You can find me at Maniac Yak, which is MANIACYAK.
Superb. Robert, where can we find you, man?
I am also very available on the Twitters as @StreakMachine. And you can also check out my website, streakmachine.com, if that's your fancy.
Grand. I was wanting to ask what the origin of that name is. Is that something we can broadcast, or should we talk about this off the air?
It's a long story.
Right, okay, we'll maybe talk about it off the air. And Roddy, where can we find you?
I'll just be either in my bathroom or in the living room, I think. Or if I'm on the internet, it's on Twitter. I'm Roddy, which is RODTI, just to confuse people. But again, there are a number of warnings around following me on Twitter.
You can get a hold of me on Twitter. It's Paul Wheatley, which is Paul, WHEATLEY. You can contact us. Any suggestions about the show, feedback about the show, any praise is absolutely fantastic by emailing us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or follow us on British Tech News on Twitter. But most importantly, if you've liked what you've heard and you want to give us a review, please head on over to iTunes and give us some stars and a lovely message. We will be forever grateful. Ratings really help us get up the charts. Now, I was about to finish the show there, but I've just remembered that we had some feedback last week in the form of an email that I have not done anything with yet. So,
oh, Paul.
I know, I'm very sorry.
It's just, you know, thoughtless, Paul, I think, really.
I know. So, Chris and Lauren wrote us on email and said, "Hi, guys, just listened to your first show. Very good." Well, thank you. We really appreciate that. Queries from listeners is a great idea. On the ringtone issue, so that was your R2-D2 issue, Ian.
Yes.
Just sync through iTunes. There's a tab up there with music, podcasts, etc. It's hard not to make ringtones from current music files. I can remind myself how, and I'll let you know if you like. I tried to post on the website, but this band filter was giving me jip. Regards to the whole British Tech team. Sorry about the spam filter, yes, you're quite right. You can sync through iTunes to get ringtones and things like that on your device. I think actually that was a solution you eventually found, Ian, wasn't it?
Yes, so that is the solution I eventually found. With a little background here, my iPad 2 came with iOS 4 on it, and back then there was no point syncing ringtones because the only thing you could use them for was for FaceTime, which I didn't use very often. Then when I upgraded to iOS 5, I forgot that I needed to tick the box that says please sync my ringtones. So when I found that on iTunes, R2-D2 popped right across, and I've been happily hearing him bleep away every time I get an email now.
That's great. Yes, thank you very much for that email. And if anybody else, you have any thoughts about anything that we've said or suggestions about what we should call that section, but I have to admit, I really quite like support stocking, so that may have to stay. Please do get in touch with us. There's the email I mentioned before, which is britishtechnews@gmail.com. I think that's everything we're going to talk about tonight, gentlemen. All that leaves me now is to just thank you all, and thank everybody else for listening, and good night.